wonder if we can turn to Isaiah chapter 11, please. In fact, let's go to chapter 10 and verse 20. Isaiah chapter 10 and verse 20. And it shall come to pass that in that day that the remnant of Israel and such as have escaped of the house of Jacob will never again depend on him who defeated them, but will depend on the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in truth. The remnant will return, the remnant of Jacob, to the mighty God. For though your people, O Israel, be as the sand of the sea, a remnant of them will return. The destruction decreed shall overflow with righteousness, for the Lord God of hosts will make a determined end in the midst of all the land. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of hosts, O my people who dwell in Zion, do not be afraid of the Assyrian. He shall strike you with a rod and lift up his staff against you in the manner of Egypt. For yet a very little while, and the indignation will cease, as will my anger in their destruction. And the Lord of hosts will stir up a scourge for him like the slaughter of Midian at the rock of Oreb. As his rod was on the sea, so he will lift up in the manner of Egypt. It shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck. And the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. He has come to Aoth, he has passed Migron. At Michmash he has attended to his equipment. They have gone along the ridge, they have taken up lodging at Geba. Ramah is afraid, Gibeah of Saul has fled. Lift up your voice, O daughter of Galim. Cause it to be heard as far as Laish, O poor Anathoth. Madmena has fled, the inhabitants of Gibeah seek refuge. As yet, he will remain at Nob that day. He will shake his fist at the mount of the daughter of Zion, the hill of Jerusalem. Behold, the Lord of hosts, will lop off the bough with terror. Those of high stature will be hewn down, and the haughty will be humbled. He will cut down the thickets of the forest with iron, and Lebanon will fall by the mighty one. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow from out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. The calf and the young lion with the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner to the people, and the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. I just felt that God was just wanting to bring us this picture from the Bible. And the picture really is one of the devastation that was going to come upon the people of Israel with the attack of the Assyrians. And one of the things that the Assyrians would do is they would cut down all the forests, they would cut down all the trees, they would cut down all the fruit and all the good stuff that could be used in the land. They would decimate the land. They would chop down the crops, basically, and they would starve the people out in captivity. As in, like, if you're in Jerusalem, they would surround the city and you'd starve to death inside. They would cut off all the supplies. They'd try and cut off the water supply. Those who tried to flee from the city, they would take and they would impale you on poles. They were brutal. They were a brutal people in many ways. And I just feel that God is saying this morning that for some of us, we feel like we've been through that brutality. We feel like the devil has come in like a flood and he's tried to lop off our limbs, just like a tree being hacked up. And he's caused devastation in our lives. For many of us, I'm not saying that, you know, if you don't relate to that, then fine, you know, just don't take this as a word for you this morning. But I do believe there are some people here that God really wants to speak about and speak to and just bring words of comfort from where you've been through a tough time, a tough season in your life. And it can seem, when you're going through that tough season, it can seem that you're going to end up staying in that season for good. And it can feel like the Lord has deserted you and given up on you, and that Satan is taking charge and that God is nowhere to be seen. But I just want to tell you, the Lord knows what he's doing. Even in the midst of the pain, even in the midst of the turmoil, God has got a plan at work and he's going to have his way. He will have his way. And it turns out really good in the end. You read the book of Revelation, there's some pretty hideous things that are to come. And yet, God will turn it all around for the good of those who love him. That's the promise in Romans, that all things work together for the good of those who are called by his name. And that's us. We are called by his name. Even the painful things in life, he will turn around and he will use for good in the end. And we can't even, with our own human minds, see how some of the things that we've been through can ever be used for good. We think, well, Lord, how can this be? And yet God will turn things around and use them for good, even though they're painful. And I just felt that God wanted to give a word of promise and a word of healing, a word of restoration to people this morning who've been through tough times. And if you have a look at chapter 11, just before chapter 11, it says about lopping off the bough with terror, and those of high stature being hewn down, and the thick forest being cut down. And that's how we feel sometimes when a demonic attack comes against us in our lives. But if you look from verse 20 of chapter 10, it says a remnant of Israel. And then 21 says, the remnant. And then verse 22 says, the remnant. And sometimes we ourselves personally feel like we are a remnant. But is there any more? Lord, I'm already broken. Is there any more of me that needs to be broken? I feel shattered, Lord. I've had every part, every limb cut off. There's nothing of me left, Lord. And God is still at work in our lives. He hasn't deserted us. He hasn't forsaken us. But he is doing a work within our lives. And just as there was a remnant left in Israel, they weren't completely destroyed. He still had that remnant. So something wonderful was to happen through that remnant. That remnant was like a tree, if you like. Think of a beautiful oak tree, and then an enemy comes and hacks it down. And you get up one morning, you go out, you've got a beautiful oak tree outside your house, and it's been lopped down. We've got a lovely tree outside our house, which isn't such a blessing. And it's putting sap on our cars every day, a liquid, sticky, horrible sap. And we've gone on to the council to get it sorted and trimmed, and they won't do it because they said, well, it's not causing you any bother. It's actually in the park, and there's nothing wrong with the tree. We're just going to leave it as it is. They had someone around to look at it. They said, no, it's just going to stay as it is. Well, imagine that you had a beautiful tree and you were really proud of this tree, and then you woke up one morning and someone had suddenly hacked it down. You'd be devastated. You think, wow, this, I wouldn't be devastated if someone did it to our tree, I don't want to set anyone up to that, but just imagine they've come onto your land and you've got this beautiful tree in the garden. We've got a lovely tree in our back garden. If someone hacked that down, it would be devastating. And for some of us, we feel like the enemy has come in and he's hacked down that tree. And all that's left is a stump. And it's like Satan's laughing. Look at that. That's all that's left, a little stump in your life. God can't do anything with that. You're broken. You might as well give up. Stop following God. Stop following this Jesus. It's all a lie. You'll never make it. He hates you. Look at what's happened in your life. Since he came into your life, things have got worse. And he just feeds these lies to us again and again. And have a look in chapter 11, what just happens from this stump that's left. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of fear of the Lord. This is a prediction that out of that stump of Israel, think about the decimation that the Assyrians caused. Think about the decimation that the Babylonians caused, taking Israel off to captivity for 70 years. They were a broken people. And yet, out of this broken people, this small people on the earth, this people that have so often in recent times, maybe not in our lifetime, but I'm thinking about the Holocaust, the Nazi Holocaust, about Hitler trying to destroy the Jews. Think about how the Jews have been persecuted over the years. And they were persecuted, and there was not many of them left. And yet, from this small group of people, this remnant, God brought the Messiah, Jesus himself, born a Jew, born of that nation. He grew up. He had that knowledge, that fear of the Lord. He had that understanding, that spirit of counsel, that spirit of might. Jesus came in a hopeless situation, and he brought hope. And he said, I will send you another comforter. He was called the comforter. He came to comfort Israel. And in Isaiah, I think chapter 40, it says about the comfort of Israel, the consolation of Israel. And Simeon was one of these people who was there waiting for the consolation of Israel. And then Jesus came into the temple as a baby, and he saw him, and he was rejoicing because he'd been waiting for that comfort, that consolation. And for some of us here, we've been waiting for that comfort from God. And he just wants to remind us today that he is the comforter. He is the Holy Spirit, and he wants to come afresh into our lives and bring his comfort. You know, other people can sometimes, when you're going through grief, they can try and bring you comfort, and it can help to a certain degree. But there's no one quite like the comforter, is there, to really come on the inside and give us that comfort, not from the outside, but from the inside out. He can minister to our heart. He understands what we go through. He understands the pain in our lives, and he has come to take that pain away, to carry that. When he died on the cross, he didn't just die for our sins. He died for our sicknesses as well. He bore our grief, our sorrows, when he was rejected. Think about the rejection that Jesus went through on our behalf. He even bore our sorrows. Are you sorrowful this morning about something? God wants you to bring it to him. It says in Scripture, cast your cares on him because he cares for you. We can come daily to that place of the cross and say, Lord, I know that you died not only for my sins and for my sicknesses, you also died for my sorrows. You died to carry my burden. I want to bring my burden to you today. Is there something that you're anxious about? God wants to carry that, carry you through that. I love that wonderful picture of the footsteps in the sand, and there's only one pair of footprints, and the person thinks, Lord, you've deserted me at that point in my life when I needed you most. And he says, no, my child, my precious child, it was at those times when I was carrying you. He wants us to know when we're going through those situations, he wants to carry us. He wants to get us through to the other side. And it's not always going to be as painful as it is now, it's not going to always be that way, because he will carry us and he will carry our burdens. If you just look back a little bit, verse 27 of chapter 10, it shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. What's that talking about? Well, it's talking about when the enemy invades and puts a yoke on people. A yoke is something that you would put on cattle when they would walk together, and it'd be a heavy burden, and you'd yoke two equal-looking cattle together. You try and choose two cattle. I'm chatting as a farmer here. I'm looking at Reese to see if I've got this correct. You try and choose two cattle that were a similar size, and you'd put this wooden yoke over their neck. Is that right? On iron as well? Has it got iron in it or something? Yep. Okay. Yep. And then you get some work out of the cows. But it says in Scripture, do not be unequally yoked. So that basically means whoever you choose to walk with in life, make sure they're going in the same direction as you, really. Yeah. So that's often used with regard to relationships. If you're choosing to marry somebody, it's wise to choose someone who's a Christian, because otherwise you're pulling in two different directions, you know. But also, if you're committing long-term to something, look for someone who sees things in the same way as you do. It's wisdom, isn't it? And Scripture gives us wisdom. It teaches us, educates us. But in the same way, that yoke would be put on the cattle, and it would be a burden to them. And the enemy would come in, a foreign invading army would come in, and they would take over the land. And the king of Assyria would say, okay, this is now my land. I'm going to put my own puppet king on the throne, and he's going to be under me. I'm the king of kings. I'm the lord of lords, and this is my under king. I'm making a covenant with this king that he's to call me dad. He'll be my son, and I'll protect him, and I'll look out for him, but you must pay me a tribute. You must pay me tribute money, and all the good of the land, you can have some for yourselves, but a good amount is to come to me every year. If you don't keep this up, we will come in, we will invade your land, we will destroy you, we'll take you off into captivity. So a deal is struck. That is the yoke. And every year, there'll be tribute money paid to the king of Assyria in order to keep things at peace and stuff. So it's a bit like the mafia. Just imagine the mafia coming on, knocking on your door and saying, okay, you can have a peaceful life if you start paying me. Here's my bank details. I want you to set up a standing order of such and such, 50 quid a week, please. Come into my account and everything will be cozy. If you don't pay, you're in trouble. You're a dead man. You're a dead woman. Horrible. That is a yoke over our shoulders. And God is promising here that the yoke that was over the shoulders of the Israelites would be smashed. And have a look and see what it says would be the power that would destroy that yoke. What does it say? The yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. This is the anointing oil that would be used in worship of God. It would be used for the priests. They would use this anointing oil, and it was a symbol of the Holy Spirit. You know what? When Satan comes in and puts a yoke on our lives and tries to make us subservient to him and tries to oppress us, what is it that sets us free? It's as we read the Bible, as we read what God says instead and believe it, and as the Holy Spirit reveals that to us and the Holy Spirit comes afresh into our lives, that the burden is broken over us. Are you carrying a burden this morning? Is there something that the devil keeps using against you and keeps oppressing you with? God wants to break that yoke off you this morning simply by a surrender to God and a trusting in his power and enabling his Spirit to come in, just as we've been singing. Come, Holy Spirit, and come and break the yokes that are over us. Come and bring your freedom this morning, Lord. I wonder if we can Turn forwards to the book of Joel, please. And Joel chapter 2 and verse 25, please. So I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust, my great army which I sent among you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be put to shame. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I am in the midst of Israel. And I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. My people shall never be put to shame. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth. Blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls. We might be feeling like that remnant this morning, broken. Very little of us left. Lord, is there any more to take? I reckon one of the most dangerous prayers you can pray is, Lord, break me, isn't it? Lord, break me. We want to humble ourselves before God. In theory, we do. But when it comes to the reality and it comes to going through pain, who would choose to go through pain in life? And yet we know that it's the painful trials that we go through. These are the very things which are refining us. God is taking us through the fire. And the reason being is our faith is being tested to show that it is pure gold. All the impurities are coming out. And as we're in that place of pain, we often cry out, just as Trish cried out this morning, that anguish that she felt, that connection with that pain that we all feel when we're going through trials and difficulties, that even Jesus felt when he said, my God, he shouted out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Even Jesus knows what it is to feel like God has forsaken him. He cried that out on the cross. He understands. He relates to us when we're going through trials. He knows the pain in our lives. And he doesn't want us to put on that little cover, that little mask to cover it up. He wants us to come before him in a safe, secure place and to just surrender to him and say, Lord, this is me. This is what I'm struggling with. This is how I feel about this situation. To pour out our lives to him. And we know that in those situations, he is refining us. And we're going to come out like gold. You might not feel like gold this morning, but if you've been going through a tough time, if you've been going through a struggle, God is going to take you through and he's going to refine you. The end result isn't going to be ugly. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be his gold shining in each one of us. And it's not always going to be as tough as we're experiencing it now, for those of us that are going through difficulties. So let's have a look at this passage. Different locusts had come and chewed all the crops. And it says here, my great army, the army which I sent among you. Sometimes Satan comes in, and we think, well, Lord, why have you allowed this to happen? Why have you allowed the devil to come in and wreak havoc? And yet God is still sovereign, even when we don't understand it. And even when it seems like he's not sovereign, he's still sovereign. He's still in charge. And he will still make a way where there is no way. He'll bring us through. And he'll take those painful situations that we've been through and he'll turn them around. And he promises that in this passage. He says that the way that the locusts have come and they've chewed all the crops, they've eaten all the crops with nothing left, I'm going to restore to you more than you can ever imagine. Everything that they've taken from you. And you think, well, Lord, how can you restore this? How can you restore that? God can restore. We think about the story of Job. He lost everything. He lost all his family, didn't he? And yet, God restored him more in his latter days than he had before. And he was a rich man. And Satan said, it's because he's rich that he trusts in you. But even when he had everything taken away, he still had that trust in the Lord. I know he messed up at one point. He questioned God's sovereignty. Lord, what's going on? As we all would. But Job was an incredible example to us of how to stand in suffering and tribulation. And the promise is, whatever you've been through, God is going to restore to you more than the locusts have eaten. What have the locusts eaten in your life? What has the enemy come to devour in your life? God wants to give you more. You know, some things can't be replaced. When we've lost loved ones, nothing can replace that, can it? But somehow or other, God can make a way. And for Job, he'd lost loved ones that he loved dearly. And I'm sure nothing could replace that in one sense. But in another, it does say that he was restored more than he had before the enemy came in. And God wants to reassure us of that this morning. One day we're going to be in glory, and every tear that we've ever cried is going to be gone. We're not going to know what it is to feel pain, sorrow, sadness anymore. I don't know how God's going to do that. And even the question, you think, well, what about some of my loved ones? If they don't make it into heaven, am I going to be able to enjoy heaven without them? There's so much we don't understand. But one thing I do is trust God. I know that he's going to make a way. And I believe what it says in Scripture, that he will take away every tear from our eyes. He'll turn away our sadness and replace it with sorrow. Sorry, with rejoicing. He'll turn away our sorrow and rejoice, replace it with gladness. Oh, just testing to see if you're awake. And then verse 28, it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Isn't it interesting that promise to bring restoration is linked with the promise to send the Holy Spirit? He's our comforter. He's the one who brings restoration to our lives, even where we couldn't find a way. When the Holy Spirit comes on board, he does new things in our lives. And I just believe that God wants us to this morning to surrender again to him and say, Lord, come. Come by your Spirit. Come, great comforter, and bring comfort into my life. Come and minister to my heart, Lord, where Satan has come to steal, kill, and destroy. Lord, you come to bring life in abundance. You come to bring life in all its fullness. I wonder if we can just come before the Lord now, each one of us. And I didn't prepare this message. It's just something that just came into my mind as I've been going along here. But I'm sure that the Lord wants to minister this morning. Just as we ministered to him in worship, he wants to minister to us this morning. And he wants to set us free from stuff that binds us. Let's come before him now in the quietness of our hearts. Let's think about, have we got any yokes in our lives that need to be broken by his anointing oil, by his Holy Spirit? Have we got any hurts from the past where Satan has come in like an army of locusts and has devoured things in our lives? Are we in that position of trust, trusting God for restoration? It may be that Satan has so sown seeds of doubt that we're not in that place of trust anymore. Our trust in our great God has been knocked. God wants to restore that this morning by his Spirit. Let's just come before him, shall we? Lord, we want to thank you that you love each and every one of us. Lord, you love us just the same when we're having a good day, and you love us just the same when we're going through pain and through hurt. We want to thank you, Lord, that you haven't forsaken us. Even in the times when it's felt like you have, you've promised to be with us always and never to leave us, never to forsake us. And we want to thank you that you're with us right now. We invite you to come, Holy Spirit, and move afresh in our lives. We just want to say, Lord, we love you and we surrender to you. Lord, we take your yoke upon ourselves, not the devil's yoke. We take your yoke upon us. We choose to walk with you. We choose to walk in step with you. Your yoke is easy. Your burden is light. We choose to come right now, Jesus, and the cares that are in our lives, we bring them before you. And we surrender them to you. Let's just do that now. If you know there's a burden that you need to bring before the cross, why don't you just, in your mind, just bring it to the foot of the cross and leave it with Jesus. Lord, we just want to pray blessings on those who've hurt us in the past, Lord. Those who've let us down. Lord, we come in your name and we speak forgiveness over them. Lord, where that's difficult to do, would you just come and minister to us, Lord? Pour in your healing oil. It's your spirit which breaks that yoke, Lord. Lord, you forgave us even when we didn't deserve it, Lord. More than we can ever imagine. And you've said that we're to do the same thing for others, even when they don't deserve it, Lord. And that's difficult for us. But Lord, it's possible by your spirit. So we just come in your name. Lord, we just say we forgive where we've been hurt. We may not be able to forget things that have happened to us, things that we've gone through, Lord. But one thing we can do is speak out that forgiveness. And refuse to keep playing the tapes over and over and over. Lord, we do believe that one day we're going to come before your throne. You're going to turn things all around in the end. You're the great judge. And some things we can't sort out, we have to leave with you and trust to that day of judgment, Lord, that you'll do the right thing, Lord. But Lord, we pray for mercy. Mercy for those who've hurt us, Lord. May they find you as well. May they find your forgiveness, Lord. May they turn around. Lord, we want to thank you that you're here right now. Would you just come by your spirit? We bow the knee. Come and forgive us, Lord, where we've questioned you. Where we've doubted you, Lord. We just want to say afresh today, we trust in you. And we trust in your goodness. Thank you that you are good. Comforter, would you come and bring your comfort to us this morning? Those of us who are struggling with different things, would you bring your comfort, Lord? Lord, enable us to be people who bring comfort to others by the power of your Spirit, Lord. In Jesus' name, I come against yokes this morning, yokes of oppression, which would seek to bind people. Break those in Jesus' name right now. I say freedom in Jesus' name. Freedom for the children of God. Where the devil has come and caused havoc in our lives, we just say no more. We draw the line. We say no more. We say we're going to follow Jesus. We're going to follow the Lord. We're going to trust the Lord. Every tongue which accuses us, every lie of the enemy, we refute right now in Jesus' name. We choose not to believe the lies anymore. We choose to believe the truth of God's word. Thank you, Lord, that you speak the truth and your Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. We believe you And we choose not to believe the lies about us. In Jesus' name. Lord, would you just come now? Bring a freedom, Lord, we pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to sing, Let Your Living Water Flow Over My Soul. Let's just continue in this mode, shall we, of just worship of the Lord and of surrender to Him. And again, there's a chance for prayer. If you still want to have prayer, just put your hand up and someone will come and pray with you. But let's surrender to God. Let's give Him our worship and let's thank Him for what He's doing amongst us.